Here are a few quickly hardening facts on the sequester and its impact around the country. Look at Texas. It will lose $68 million in federal funding for primary and secondary education. That's second only to California in the amount cut. And those millions will be replicated in every state's education system for special federally supported programs. Look for those impacts to take place next week as school gets started. The Navy's Blue Angels are reportedly grounded because of the sequester. All right, that's not the biggest deal in the world, but in the military community of Colorado Springs, Colorado, it's estimated that half of that area's nearly 20,000 small businesses will be directly affected by the sequester. The National Park Service could lose nearly $110 million from its budget almost immediately. California's Yosemite National Park has said it's not going to have money to plow roads. Forget it. And some staff's going to have to go. What are you seeing in your community? Call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. And Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick says the people in the D.C. area are experiencing something of shell shock after months and months of sequester talk. Todd Zwillick, welcome.
Hi, John.
So what have you found out there? Who have you talked to? And I imagine people are just hunkering down after all this.
Well, John, what this is really about for people in the D.C. area is uncertainty. And I traveled not only in D.C., but around suburban Virginia, where there are a lot thousands of federal employees and the people who serve them. I spoke to three people. One guy is Paul Hare. He's owner of Your Dog's Best Friend in Alexandria, Virginia, about 30 employees. Another fella, Danny Vargas, runs a small defense contracting firm. They make optical equipment for weapon systems,
right,
and they do some PR as well. And Jason Hall, who has a degree in physics, he works on sonar systems, and he's had a really hard time getting a job.
So I imagine Danny, the defense contractor, is not happy at all. Tell me more about this Paul Hare fellow.
Well, Paul's an interesting case, John. Paul is a former Senate and White House staffer himself, an economist, a Republican, worked for moderate Republicans like John Hines and Nancy Kassenbaum back in some of the older days of the Senate. And he's got a big, thriving dog care business where people from the Supreme Court, the White House, Capitol Hill, and the private sector all bring their dogs. Now, he's watching the sequester closely. Listen.
I've spoken with all my employees, and I've let them know that it may be necessary to cut back their hours. And that's hard because these people are earning livable wage. And when you get an hours cut when you're at livable wage, you're getting your living cut.
Now, the interesting takeaway there is the patterns of pet care in the D.C. area are a real economic indicator, it sounds like.
They really are because of furloughs. Think of furloughs. Yeah, you might still be able to afford dog care, maybe, but if you're staying home one day a week, that's one day a week that you're not bringing your dog to Paul's business. Now, you might think that Paul is totally against the sequester, but think again because he actually thinks this might be the best medicine. Listen.
I don't want to go over the cliff to Greece, where there will be no dog daycares anymore. People will just revert to, you know, taking them, leaving them at home. So I'm looking at this and saying, I'll take the pain this year, but I don't want to see my country collapse economically over the next 5 to 10 years.
All right, Todd, I'm guessing now. Let's see. He thinks because we can't cut federal spending, we're going to end up like Greece. I'm guessing he was a former Republican staffer on the Hill.
Correct. He was, and a trained economist and highly sophisticated on some of these issues, willing to take the pain now if it leads to fiscal sanity, but he's not sure it's going to.
All right, let's talk to your defense contractor, Danny Vargas.
Well, Danny Vargas is out in suburban Virginia. Like I said, he designs optical systems and weapon systems, 15 employees, also involved in some local Republican politics. For him, it's about uncertainty. He's willing to take cuts too, but he just can't deal with not knowing what's around the corner. Listen to Danny.
I always tell folks, you know, my ideal scenario would be I'd be selling margaritas underneath a palm tree somewhere in the Caribbean. Because at this stage, it really is, it's incredibly difficult to be able to manage a business effectively. We can't do it day to day, week to week, month to month. We have to be able to have some level of projection and planning.
Speaking of margaritas, you ran into your third character, Jason Hall, in a bar yesterday, yes?
Now, Jason Hall is an interesting case. He has a degree in physics. He's had jobs at weapons contracting firms, defense firms, in the past. He designed sonar systems for Navy ships, degree in physics. Now, he's had lots of interviews, lots of job offers, except they don't know when the contracts are coming in. The contractors don't know when the Defense Department is going to have the money, and that means that I met up with Jason at the bar where he's working the door. Listen to Jason.
It probably means that there's going to be even longer waiting times, or those contracts may not be awarded at all in the first place. Outside of the jobs that I have been like successful and being made offers, there's several positions that I would be submitting resumes to, and then a few months later get an email saying that, you know, this position's been closed.
So the normally very healthy D.C. economy has really softened up there under this cloud of uncertainty. A physicist is a bouncer at a bar, not working for the lucrative defense industry. I suspect some of your folks have some ideas of what Congress should do. What does Paul want to happen now?
Well, Paul, like I said, is very sophisticated about these things. He's negotiated big bills. He sat across from Democrats and negotiated banking bills. But he sees the world a little bit differently these days. Sure, he's a Republican. Sure, he wants fiscal sanity. He's got 105 dogs running around that business, John, and he kind of sees his world, I think, through the eyes of those dogs. Listen to Paul.
They'll play hard. They might even injure each other. It does happen. It's a playground. You know, they might get a nip or a scrape, but they start over again. They come back the next day, and they forget everything that happened the day before and just start fresh. And that's what they need to do up there. They need to start with a fresh attitude about finding the deal that exists below the level of all of the public fighting.
Looking for lessons in the pets of folks in the Beltway. That's Paul Hare, Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Talk to him. Todd, thanks so much.
You bet.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.